special magistrate meeting of May 4, 2010. I don't see any representatives from the city to be sworn, so I guess I'll forego that. Before we proceed, I need to let everybody know that I have seen Kit Corey's name on some documents here indicating he represents a bank that's involved in some financing. Now, Kit Corey is my partner. I use that term partner loosely as a term of endearment. He and I do not share in any of the revenues generated by his business. We have our own separate PAs. The only partnership we have is in the building that we own. So I just want to make it clear that I have no interest in his business. He has no interest in mine, but that's the nature of our relationship. If anybody wants me to step aside, say so, and I'll be happy to do so. I personally don't feel it's a conflict that causes me any concern, but I'll defer to you people, and I'll do exactly what you want me to do in that regard.
No conflict in our mind.
All right, then let's go ahead and hear from the respondent.
Okay, Your Honor, it's essentially, I'm going to run through my tab A and B. What this all started about was a 25-foot section of six-wood fence that was done, and if you look at A, the charge that was brought against my client was that we were doing this work without permit. And they did the notice of hearing. It was initially set back in September of 07. And that's what A basically shows is the argument is, did we build this fence or charge without a permit back, and it was set up for September 11th. If you go to tab B, Your Honor, the assistant general manager, what happened to this is that if you look at the fence that ran along their back on the ocean, the hurricanes had torn them up. I handled personally the insurance litigation because they had over $1 million in damage. They were trying to repair it. We got the insurance money. She points out that the plexiglass, the way this fence was, David, if I may call you David, it had concrete pillars and plexiglass, concrete pillar, and I've got pictures. The cracks in the plexiglass, the guy from the city shows up and says, you can't have this crack in the plexiglass. You're going to have to replace it with something. This assistant general manager, having some experience, says, well, can I just have my in-house maintenance guy do this? And he said, yeah, that'd be fine. And then she specifically asked, do I need a permit? And was told no, because all you're doing is replacing this section in between the deal. And so based upon that, they replaced the plexiglass with the wood. And all they did with the pillars, David, is they simply re-stuccoed and repainted them. Otherwise, we figured the city would be all over us for not having them look unsightly. I've attached pictures. So we see if I may approach. It might be easier for me.
These pictures? Yeah, I see. These are the pillars. Mm-hmm. And all they did, instead of plexiglass being between the pillars, like see, these are right here, all they did was, this used to be plexiglass, and they put wood in between them, and then they re-stuccoed and basically repainted the pillars, which was something they could easily do.
And when this problem then started, on September 11th, we call, and Colleen, in their own data sheets, which is Exhibit D, Colleen says, we don't need a permit. And so my clients are now told by two city employees the permit is not needed. Then Mr. Alderman, I come in and I say, okay, what's the issue? And Mr. Alderman says, well, look at these pictures. I do think a permit's needed. He then sends a picture to Colleen after me, and says, and Colleen changes her mind, but understand, my client at this stage has been told now twice she doesn't need a permit, get the work done, and there won't be a problem. I then meet with Steve Alderman as well as my client, and what Steve basically says is, we're just concerned that if you paint over these pillars, that they're not structurally sound. And we pointed out that all we're doing is re-stuccoing the outside and painting them, and that's why we ended up showing up with an architect, because what they told us, if you look at Exhibit C, is the architect's plans, which we paid money to come down to the city and show them that it was structurally sound. And that's this thing right here. The architect can't spell structurally, but if you look on the yellow right here, it says that these pillars are structurally sound. And the design of the fence is structurally sound.
That's October 10 of 2007. So we end up going, we meet with Steve, who was very professional. We go out there and I said, well, you know, what is the issue here? And he says, well, it's, we just want to make sure it's structurally sound. I said, if I get you an architect or an engineer who can say that it's done well, isn't that what the city wants? He says, yes. So we pay it an architect. We get it to him October 10th. I unfortunately go into chemo, and we just flat missed the November meeting. It's my fault. Nobody's fault but my own. You enter the order imposing the lien because we have allegedly not pulled a permit or that there's really a need for us to pull a permit in the first place. And then what actually happens after that, we end up, to the city's credit, somebody from the city called and said, oh, by the way, you know this $1,000 a day is running. You need somebody to come down here and pull a permit. My secretary brings the permit documentation and files it on December 12th. And we've attached the building permit application. We've attached her application. We still don't believe we even need a permit because we've done what the city asked us to do, which was have the architect certify that it is structurally sound. But in any event, in the abundance of caution, we show up with the permit, file it on December 12th, and most importantly, Mr. Alderman, if you read the notes that are Exhibit D, David, he admits that there was a permit not obtained until mid-December. That's the very first item, January 27, 2008, under case details. The last one, 1, 2, 3, 4. I inspected work had been done, permit not obtained until mid-December. This is important because the city has been saying, and they have charged us, the $1,000 fine from November 7th until January 18th. On the grounds, as I was told last night, that, well, you got the permit, you filed the permit application, but we didn't get around to giving you a permit till January 18th. This is on a fence that was already built with an architect's certification that the fence was structurally sound. And the city, number one, has taken the position, well, you needed a permit, and we think that's wrong. Number two, even if you've got us a permit, it takes us 6 weeks to process a fence permit in this city, and we're going to charge you $1,000 a day for taking 6 weeks to process a fence permit that's already built with an architect's certification. And so we're here. They made us put $90,000, including interest, in an escrow account to try and close because our client has a balloon on their mortgage. They finally found somebody to refi the mortgage. And what's holding up was we had the Daytona lien on this thing. And then we've worked a deal through Mr. Jackson's professionalism to put the money in escrow, but our clients obviously need the money to survive in that hotel. We are a hotel doing business, staying in business, keeping our place. We've actually upgraded. They've taken $1.5 million and upgraded it. And the city is charging us $1,000 a day because, number one, we shouldn't have needed a permit. Number two, we did what they asked for in October. We gave them an architect certification. And they didn't step up. I'm at fault because I didn't get here at the meeting and would have pointed out that the city has already told us if we gave them the this architect deal that we are done. And we basically have been charged for 70 days when we shouldn't have been charged for anything. We would ask you to absolve us. And I would believe at the minimum, the equity in this thing, I know we're not supposed to look at equity, but at the end of the day, we're actually doing what we were supposed to do. We didn't owe anything in the first place.
Okay, what say the city?
Well, first of all, get to this mic. First of all, I believe that it's fine to look at equity in this situation, and we typically do with lien reviews. I don't have a problem with that in terms of fairness. And that's one of the reasons why we worked so hard to get this done. We were contacted by Mr. Hood last week, and he told us his circumstance, and we wanted to help him get it remedied. And we did not compel him to put money in escrow, but that was one of the solutions, and apparently one that's working for him. As far as most of what, in fact, probably 95% of what Mr. Hood said I don't disagree with. Just as indicated, everything that I was able to find and determine is that he was initially told that he didn't need a permit, but the inspector doing their job, the permits, Colleen Miles, once the inspector determined that a permit was needed, Colleen, he got with her and they were corrected on that issue and they notified the respondent that a permit was needed. They gave him time to obtain a permit. That discussion, as best I can tell, happened, and I think he even referenced it here, back in September. It was not till November that a lien ultimately issued, and one of the biggest issues that the inspector had brought forth was after they were notified that they needed a permit, they decided to rest upon the misinformation or the mistake or error and proceed and finish the job, even though it was acknowledged that an error was made. So when they came back before the magistrate, informing you of that error, informing you that they were proceeding without a permit, and if you look at the minutes, I think the minutes have you asking and the inspector reemphasizing and clarifying, yes, they continued to work, even though we put a stop work order and completed the job, then you did something that was not very characteristic, but it was appropriate and reasonable under the circumstances, and that was fined them $1,000 per day. And that $1,000 per day ran for 70 days. Mr. Hood is correct that in December they did come in and they did apply for the permit, and they paid the application fee, and they got that receipt that said we applied for the permit. But the permit didn't issue until, he says 6 weeks, it actually was about 40 days, but the next month was when they actually received the permit. I don't know the answer on why they received it on that date. I don't know if it had anything to do with, I guess it didn't have to do with payment. I guess more often than not it has to do with when they actually come in and pick it up. But I don't know that, and I'm not, I'm only saying that that's one of the possibilities. But in any sense, ultimately they went for that 70-day period, and almost immediately the inspector advised them that they could come in and seek a lien review. He realized that, yeah, this became a lot bigger than it had to be. Nevertheless, that's where we are right now.
Okay. When, Mr. Jackson, I have some questions of you. When, in your opinion, in reviewing the record, was it made clear to the respondent that a permit was required?
Well, if I look at the chronology notes from Mr. Alderman, it says that on September...
Now, is this exhibit...
That would be Exhibit B.
Of Mr. Hood's materials?
Is it D or B? I'm not sure.
D is the chronology.
Okay, yeah, okay. And D?
It's right here.
Okay.
You got the same thing.
All right, I've got July 07, respondent first notified. August 07, notice of violation.
And it says September 16th.
After the notice of violation issues, if I'm reading this correctly, on 9/16/07, the respondent is told he did not need a permit and would not be on the agenda. Am I reading that correctly?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's 9/16/07.
And September 21, when we met, David.
September 21, they meet. It's acknowledged that Ms. Miles stated a permit was not required, which is why the work was continued during the stop work order. Wanted the stop work order removed. Alderman said he didn't have the authority to remove it because the work was still completed without a permit.
The last sentence is our key part. told him I would. When I asked Mr. Criswell, he stated that we would take an engineering certification or x-ray.
See, I did not have the authority to remove it because the work was still completed without a permit, and the building official, Mark Criswell, the only one that could circumvent the permit needed, Mr. Hood requested that I ask Mr. Criswell, if we remove one of the pillars, will that do for inspection? I told him I would. When I asked Mr. Criswell, he stated that would take an engineering certification or x-ray.
Which is why we produced the architect. And we thought we were finished with that.
And obviously I can't speak for whether there was confusion or not, but obviously... But
okay, then the next thing that happens is in October of 2007, that's the first compliance date the respondent's given. On November 2007, that's the second compliance date. After that compliance date, we have a November 16 entry, fine of $1,000 per day, no permit applied for, no representation at hearing, and you weren't here because you were undergoing medical treatment.
And that's my fault. I have full responsibility.
Okay, so that's November 16, January 27, 08. January 16, 08, we have compliance. Issue date and permit.
But in his own notes of
January 27, 08.
But he puts permit not obtained until mid-December.
Verbal contact outside manager. First, notice that they find the show running, need to be pressed to clean review. Maybe I should say the file is too high. Say those because work continued after the stop work order. Were continued after the stop work order because, as I recall, Mr. Criswell said he would accept an engineering certification or an x-ray, and the city was clearly on notice that they were working notwithstanding the stop work order. So it's because work continued after the stop work order. She said that stop work order was given to that time the order continued. I told her 14 days later, inspect work had been done. Permit not obtained until mid-December, and check the permit place for the model. And when the permit did issue, according to the respondent, it was, I guess, $1,000 a day, 35 days later than it should have.
At least.
Okay.
Well, 30 days later than the application.
You charged for 70 days, Tony. If we agree it's 35 days from the date that you started, November 7th, through December 12th is the date we filed the permit
application.
And if it helps, David, the only issue was these pillars, and we had painted and stuccoed over them.
Excuse me. Thank you. I'm familiar with the pillars. What is Ms. Miles' position with the city of Daytona Beach, specifically at this point in time?
At that point in time, she was then and still is the zoning officer.
But doesn't she handle...
Why was she involved in this?
I am not sure.
If I may?
Sure.
She was the one, if you wanted a building permit, you came through her office.
She is also a... subordinate of Mark Criswell, who is the chief building official. So whether he has her doing other duties, I'm not sure what they are.
I can tell you, Tony, as a matter of fact, at that period of time, if you wanted a permit, Colleen was one of the ladies that you would talk to downstairs.
Okay. It is part of the zoning division that issues the permits, so that's very likely the case. In fact...
I think her name's on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tony.
Yes.
I don't mean to cause you undue anxiety. Explain to me why I should be finding these people at all. And just so you'll know where I'm coming from, I've got a notice of violation that says you did stuff without a permit. I've got the city's inspector's notes stating that the head of the zoning department indicated a permit wasn't needed.
Okay. But you also have the notes indicating that a correction was made. They were timely notified that a permit was now required.
Where do you see that?
And I understand how you're interpreting it. I just don't interpret. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. They're under the notes concerning Steve Alderman 92107.
You stated that I did not have the authority to remove it, making reference to the stop work order. The work was still completed without a permit. So was this work done before 92107?
Yes, sir.
So by 92107, between 916.07 up until 921.07, the respondent hasn't been told anything different about the permit not being needed, other than the initial notice of violation, which the zoning department's now contradicted.
Well, unfortunately, I'm left to rely on apparently Mr. Hood received an email from Collie Miles stating that the permit was not required, which was never produced.
It's in your own notes. These are Mr. Alderman's
notes. Right, I understand.
You have a seat.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay, but these are Mr. Alderman's notes.
Okay, I guess if it was done without a permit, which is was completed before they were informed, okay, you need to have a permit. The requirement now is that you have a safety issue, you have a requirement for a permit, and they need to deal with that problem. And they did. They went out and they got a architectural review that said, okay, this is safe. That didn't eliminate the requirement now for them to pay me. I mean, now we're just down to a permitting fee.
Well, I don't know if I read it that way. I mean, it says, this is Alderman's words.
He stated
that I did not have the authority to remove it, stop work order. The work was still completed without a permit, granted after Colleen Miles said a permit wasn't needed. And the building official, Mark Criswell, the only man that could circumvent the permit need, Mr. Hood requested that I ask Mark Criswell, if we remove one of the pillars, will that do for an inspection? I told him I would. When I asked Mr. Criswell, he stated it would take an engineering certification or x-ray, and I can only assume that was conveyed to the respondent because we now have the engineering survey.
That's correct. I don't disagree with that.
And what's the underlying fine for? Is it not getting the permit or violating a stop work order?
The underlying permit was for not having a permit. I mean, the underlying fine was for not having a permit.
Okay, Mr. Hood, when did the respondent first learn that it had this fine accruing?
It was...
I see an affidavit from your secretary in here. Is that laid out for me?
No, sir. That just simply says she's the one that came down and filed for the permit on December the 12th of 2007. And we did not learn of it until my client was trying to refinance their property and we find out that there's a lien on the property.
So that's recently?
Yes, Your Honor. That's
okay,
unfortunate.
And how is it that you came to learn that you needed to have a permit at all?
Well, when we had the September 07 issue, at that point in time, we're told by Colleen we don't need a permit.
Right.
And then after that, my clients get
after this. After the work's done.
After the work is done, we get this.
And after the architect's report or plans are provided.
Actually, after the September, my clients finish the work because they're told they don't need a permit. Then we have a city guy show up saying, wait a minute, you did this stuff without a permit. And they give a stop work order, which is when then I call the city and say, well, will you meet me on the site and see what we're really doing here? Because the work's already done. And that's when...
So the work's done prior to meeting on September 21, 2007.
Correct, Your Honor. And then at that point, we look at it, and I said, and they were saying, why don't you rip off the pillars? And I said, there's got to be a better way than
I guess the question is, what prompted you to apply for a permit at all since you were told you didn't need one?
Because somebody at the city graciously called sometime between when the order was imposed and when the and we filed the permit saying, David, do you realize that there's a lien at $1,000 a day accruing? And so at that point I said, just file the permit and we'll stop the bleeding that way and then we'll deal with it. So that's what we did. We sent somebody down just to file the permit, so at least we had the argument, if you kept thinking we needed one, we stopped the bleeding there.
Okay. All right.
All I can do is, because it's relying on the minutes and the as we've indicated, the case details, the minutes of the meeting says, I mean, just what you're indicating, that Mr. Alderman stated 5 days after the stop work order had been issued on the property, he discovered work had continued on the pillars that limited the access to the process because they were open initially. 6 days after the entire deck was completed and still no permit had been applied, 6 days after that, the entire deck was completed and still no permit had been applied for or issued. At this time, the inspector is involved in the case. The inspector is asking for a permit. And now this is where we have continued work. This is in the minutes,
okay, somewhere in these minutes, do you see?
I'm looking at page 29.
He was clearly told he had to have a permit.
Mr. Vukelja asked if work continued after the stop work order. Mr. Alderman stated absolutely. And I see that was what prompted, and I acknowledged that initially, Mr. Vukelja. That's what prompted the severity of the fine. The work started in July and had been completed. Permits should have been applied for 2 months ago.
Okay. Either of you have anything else you want to add?
I believe we've said all that needs to be said.
I don't have anything else.
I'll try to resolve this amongst yourselves. I see you haven't been able to do that.
Correct.
I would have been willing to take what he's offered. Have a little more confidence there at the moment.
Hi, Steve.
Well, that's real.
I do. Mr. Alderman, come on up.
I apologize about the delay. I was actually at a dentist.
All right. I guess the problem that's plaguing me is it would appear there was a little bit of confusion on the city's part with regard to whether or not a permit was initially required to do this work. And by the city, I mean not just the fact that a notice of violation was provided. I see that. But apparently there were remarks made by Ms. Miles to the effect a permit wouldn't be needed.
Correct. Wouldn't be needed. I remember that, yes.
And then it would appear the conversation then got distracted from the permit, or moved from the discussion of a permit to a stop work order, and it would appear then that the stop work order was somehow resolved by Mr. Criswell suggesting if they had an engineering certification or an X-ray of the work that had been done, that would resolve the concerns over the work having been done post-stop work order.
Correct.
Okay, well, I suppose it should come as no surprise to the city that I'm laboring under a little bit of confusion here as far as perhaps the respondent receiving some mixed signals. Can you tell me at what point in time the respondent was categorically told that a permit would be required, notwithstanding what Ms. Miles may have said?
The initial day that I found it, actually. And I did check with...
That would be July 2007?
Correct, yes.
So in July 2007, you told him a permit was required. In September of 2007, Ms. Miles said it wasn't required.
Somewhere in the process, they had contacted Ms. Miles, correct. But I had to go with the building official's opinion instead of the zoning because it's more of a construction issue. The pillars all along Beachside need to be supported correctly with the rebar and whatever criteria they have for the wind resistance. It wasn't in place, the permit wasn't pulled, and it was extensive as far as the amount of improvement. And basically the main reason they were being replaced is simply because they weren't done correctly the first time, so they cracked and broke and and put the community and our tourists at risk.
Are you telling me this, I'll call it, what are we calling it, a fence, a wall?
They are pillars that support a pool barrier wall. Okay. On the beach side.
Is this wall some sort of life safety issue?
Yes, because it's a cantilever off of the pool, and it cantilevers over the sand about 15, maybe 20 feet, and the drop is about 6-8 feet approximately. I didn't ever measure it, but and if I remember, I believe it was about 30 feet lineal, and the pillars are an integral portion of the structural support. They're the ones that hold the whatever they're going to put in between. Some of the issues that I had initially was that, you know, first off, there wasn't any permit, there wasn't a licensed contractor, and it was difficult to get them to put up a safety perimeter to keep the tourists from falling off of a fairly high cantilevered wall. And I tried to communicate with everybody, because I did hear conflicting issues with Ms. Miles, and that did come up. But from what I understand and from my contact with our building official, they did need a permit. That's why they required an X-ray to make sure that the rebar was actually inside the pillars, because they are the main support of the whole wall.
Well, if I'm reading my notes correctly, focusing on the beginning of this saga, in July 2007, the respondents first notified that this work needs to be done and this permit needs, or rather, that this permit needs to be obtained. So they're in the process of beachside deck railing replacement repair.
Correct.
That's without a permit.
Correct.
So they're told no permit on July. We have some notes indicating that Ms. Miles indicated no permit was needed on September 16th. They're done with the work by September 21, which is before their first compliance date and their second compliance date. And yet they don't go get a permit because, according to the respondent, they were relying on Ms. Miles' suggestion they didn't need a permit. So the work's done. The work's done before the first compliance date even rolls around. And the water's a little muddy here as to the need for the permit. Am I missing something?
Well,
and I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just
trying
to lay the facts out here.
Excuse me.
Are you all right?
Yeah, you know how it is leaving the dentist.
I understand.
Not sure how far down the rule is going.
No, you're right. I'll let you know.
But yes, I did get into that a conflicting issue of need and not need, but it is a construction, and even on a fence, we need permits. And this one being a pool rail, life safety, and especially with the cantilever, it is a requirement to get the permits, and that came from Mr. Criswell, because I did have to check, because you get in the middle of a couple of different people's opinion, I have to find out who has the right authority. So I did stick with Mr. Criswell. He is the building official, and so I continued to follow through with it on that aspect. And as this process unfolded, the simple act of getting a permit would have eliminated the whole issue. They didn't have a licensed contractor doing it. When I showed up, the individual, I asked him for a permit, and it was Noah Blanglais.
All that bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
All the history that you're telling me, is all precedes the notice of violation that he's given.
It happened the same day, initially.
And what he's told to do with regard to the notice of violation is not go get a contractor, not put up some sort of temporary barriers. He's told, go get a permit.
Actually, all those things were done initially.
But what he was notified that he was in violation for was not getting the permit.
Correct. Which, in its terminology, requires a contractor as well.
And I take it, ultimately, the work was inspected and approved?
Yes, they did hire an engineer after it was all done that stated and
Talked about the concrete coating.
Certified that it was done to code and it was done.
Can I just ask one thing that may just help clarify for me as well? What was Pauline Miles' role in this? I mean, was she, did she go out and inspect, or was she just notified by the respondent?
As far as I understand, it was by phone call from the property owner, I believe. I don't recall her name. Anna Carmondi?
And this was after your notice of violation?
Yes. As far as I understand. I have no idea how Colleen got involved, other than phone call. Somebody got an opinion, said they didn't need a permit, and off they go. But the main issue for me was they didn't stop when I showed up and gave them the stop work order. And then I did clarify with Building Inspector Criswell that it did indeed need a permit, so then I followed through with my process.
When were these engineering plans submitted to the city?
October, Your Honor.
October of 07?
Yes, sir. It was shortly after the meeting we had with Mr. Alderman, and he got the answer from Mr. Criswell that an engineer or an x-ray would be satisfactory, so we hired Mr. Chapin.
So before the second compliance date on November 7 of 07 rolled around?
Yeah, October 10th was when we did it.
These plans were already submitted to the city?
Yes, Your Honor.
And those plans ultimately resolved the stop work order?
We thought it would, based on our agreement.
All right. Anybody else want to say anything?
No, Your Honor.
Yeah, I want to say just one thing, just for the record, Mr. Jones. I mean, we have a circumstance that can arise in any at any time. We have an inspector go out. The inspector makes a determination, gives an instruction, and someone, because they knew probably Miles or knew someone else in the city, made a phone call that shopped for an alternative answer. They got an alternative answer, and they apparently are saying they relied upon it from someone who had no authority or adequate information to give them an answer.
Well, how do I know she had no authority?
Well,
I asked you, one of the first questions I asked you was what role or what her position was, and you know, I heard, well, head of zoning and works under Mr. Criswell and has some nebulous involvement in the building department.
Absolutely. But I have personally had no information as to what the involvement was. That's why I asked that of Mr. Alderman, since he is the inspector who was involved in the job.
What?
I can tell you, when you walk in downstairs and you look to the right where it says building permits, who's sitting there? Colleen. She runs that office. I've done this enough times, pulled enough permits in my life, I know who I got to go talk to.
The whole list of involvement on that permit shows everyone other than Colleen involved. It was pulled by Juan Davis, who is the permits officer. It was ultimately issued by, can't think of her name, but the Regina Mitchell, who issued the permits in that office, and was approved by Mark Criswell. And nowhere in that chain was there involvement from Colleen Miles, at least that's a record involvement in related to the issuance of the permit. She's a zoning officer, she's out of that department, but other than that,
you're telling me she doesn't have at least the apparent authority to speak on behalf of the city of Daytona Beach's building and zoning department?
Well, I think someone shopping could call anyone.
Okay, someone is shopping. So you're suggesting the respondent was placing calls looking for the opinion that she wanted to hear, or he or she, I don't know who it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting.
That does happen all the time, but quite honestly, with this scenario, zoning doesn't have any input. When we deal with property owners, they have property side by side, they need to get a survey. We're dealing with the ocean, which is DEP, Volusia County. This is a simple construction issue. It was a replacement.
How do you know that? How does the respondent know that?
I don't think I explained that to the property owners, quite honestly. But
I mean, and I certainly don't mean this in any fashion as a pejorative statement, but every time I see Ms. Miles, she's pretty assertive and pretty confident about what she has to say.
Yes, she doesn't.
She
knows her rules.
She doesn't hesitate to share her opinion. And so my point being, She's no shrinking violet, and no. And she's high enough up the chain of command where I would think, and we have minutes confirming this. This isn't even a controversy as to whether or not the conversations took place.
They did.
They did, in fact, for it to take place. That's a given. So it's not a matter of finger pointing and
counter
allegations.
Right. And that's why I took Mr. Criswell's opinion.
And then Mr. Criswell got involved. Mr. Criswell made a recommendation. After the work was already completed, the respondents complied.
Correct. And I have, by the way, for the record, I want to make sure that the magistrate did understand. I made a number of approaches to the property owner verbally by phone, talking to her about this running fine and everything that was going on. So this isn't something that's been going on without their knowledge as well. I have not contacted Mr. Hood specifically for this case, but I did attempt to make a number of contacts with them to get this resolved quite a while ago.
The lien you're talking about.
Correct.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's the responsible thing to do. Ultimately, it would have led to a lien review, which is what we're doing.
Correct.
Now. So quite frankly, if anyone's been prejudiced by the delay, it would be the respondent by letting that amount accrue at its risk.
Right.
And you know, let me hasten to add, okay, based on the evidence I've heard, I'm going to find that the order imposing fine lien of $1,000 per day that was imposed on November 7, 2007 should be vacated and or set aside, and the lien amount be canceled, and the lien canceled of record.
Thank you.
Have I covered everything I need to cover?
Yes, you have it all.
Okay. You know, let me hasten to add, I'm not criticizing anybody here. I'm just saying, $80,000 lien, some murky circumstances here. I have a real problem with that.
I understand.
And so that's as much as I need to say. Okay, folks.
Thank you, sir.
Remember, you do the order.
Pardon? Hang on, we're not adjourned yet. I understand he needs something relatively quickly, or is this going to be resolved at your leisure? Because your closing's taking place.
I need a closing. I need a satisfaction of the lien based upon the order.
Yeah, when is that happening?
We're holding it for today.
Okay.
So if I could ask your courtesy, which you
it's
have very professional.
But we can get a follow-up. We have the partial.
Right. I need a...
We have that now, but I don't think it has the full. So, well, so let's go back and look at it.
That's fine. If we can get it today, Tony, you've been great.
Yes, sir.
Sign what? In your form. Do I sign your form?
Yeah, this is the form... You know, that says what the order is, but it's not an actual excuse me, order.
Okay, well, can I go ahead and order that I'll go ahead and execute the formal order subsequent to the satisfaction given the urgency of the closing? In other words, can I go ahead and order you to sign the satisfaction now with the understanding I'll sign the order? Well, I don't know that he'd want that. Okay, I'll be in my office all day. You guys can
get
it.
Okay, we'll get to it. Thank you. We'll make sure we get it done.
Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you, Mr. Hood.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you.
You too.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you, David.
Take care, Dave.
All right.
So, things still going badly in Key West?
You know, it's just going... It's the same as it
was. It's not going to help a whole lot now that oil slick decides to turn around.
Talk about tourist business going down the line.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.